I thought that was a great key.
Yeah. We're
3 for 3 so far.
Good job, Mom.
That's great. Okay, so let me now just guide you through the other handout that I have here. I don't want to go through this in detail, but I just want to at least tell you what's on there so you can use it for yourself. Okay, so basically everything that's on the front where it says best practices for Sacred Heart keying, I have already said. So I'm not going to say any of that stuff again. Yeah.
Can I ask a question? So then what about don't sound notes that aren't in the first chord? I am really confused if the first note is a unison for all the parts, and then the keyer just sounds that unison, and I'm sort of like, I just need that framework. I don't know. It's hard for me.
It's hard for you to grab the other notes?
Yeah, I don't know why. I have to hum to myself, like, well, okay, what key are we really in? Especially if it's a fa.
I think also the class sometimes gets confused about that, because I usually will on that, just give the fa, and then people are like, wait, what is it?
Right, so this is probably the weakest part of my own personal ideology. The way I get around that is, so for example, 38 on the top begins with all four parts on the same note, right?
Yeah.
And so the way I give that key is like this. Figured out that's all they're going to get. But Rachel makes an excellent point, which is that especially if you're going back and forth between major and minor, if you're not giving the third, you are maybe not necessarily communicating that you've switched from major to minor. So if we had just sung a song that's la, fa, la, sol, la, fa, mi, la, right? So there's all minor stuff. And then I go, ba, you are still hearing in your head, la, right? So that's a case where I might actually go, ba, la, fa, right? So there, I'm giving just the minimal piece of information for you to find that the rest of the notes. What I do not advocate doing is for this song, fa, la, so, fa, so, la, fa, so, la, fa. Just give as few notes as you need to communicate what the right note is. That kind of keeps things moving along. In this case, I think it's not quite the point that you were making, but the solution to the problem that you were raising is fa, la, fa. That's all you need to know to wipe that minor out of your head.
I mean, I think with an experienced large class, you can pretty much do anything.
Yeah.
It's no problem. But in local singing, it's confusing.
Yeah, and I would always say in a local singing, the comfort and continuity of the singing that you have with the people you have is the top priority, right? That's always the most important thing. So bend any of these rules to make your singing better.
It's more important to communicate the song than to communicate your own sophistication, I think.
Right. Exactly. And also more important to kind of make sure that the class is going to feel confident singing the song.
If you have the first notes of just 1 and 5, then you don't have the third either.
Right.
So that would be a place maybe you'd want to sing it?
Maybe you'd want to. I don't think you always need to.
Okay.
So there's a little bit of a trade-off here. If you sing a note that is not in the first chord,
somebody might
think that that's their first note, right? So for me, the decision is always about, do I need to give the third to clarify? But if you've just been singing a run of F major songs, for example, which often happens after lunch at an alto singer convention, we already know what all those notes are. So then you just spit out those two notes. But that's going to be a judgment call. But the reason that I'm saying this is that there are a number of people who kind of habitually just will arpeggiate the whole triad. Fa, la, so, la, fa, so, fa. And my feeling about that is you have just given so many notes that it's a little bit harder for somebody to find out which one is theirs, right? So that's why I advocate giving only the notes that are somebody's first note. There is an exception to that. There are a few exceptions to that. And if you flip this page over,
that's
what's on the back. Are all the exceptions.
Well, you said there might be one.
Yeah, these are not all of them. These are enough to get you started. So let us
your notes are funny.
Let us look at 378 on the bottom. 378 on the bottom. And this is part of the other reason that I recommended singing only the notes that are in the first chord, is that it helps you get through a keying thing like this. So, what key is the song in?
G
minor. And which voice has the G in the first chord?
Nobody.
Not you.
That's a problem. What are those three other parts that are not the treble singing?
So
they're singing an F, which is one step below the tonic. Now, I'm here to tell you that the first note that comes out of your mouth in a case like this is going to be a G, because the song is in G minor. It doesn't matter that nobody's singing that first note, because the only way that you can make sense of a bunch of notes is to know what the tonic is. And if somebody hasn't given you the tonic, then they're just saying fa's and so's and la's at you, and you don't really know how to go from there. So, to find this song, so this is in G minor, I'm going to scan through it, I'm going to see there aren't really any high notes, and so I'm going to key this sort of on the high end of medium low. The first thing I'm going to do is give out the tonic, which is going to be la, and then because I kept singing it, you all sounded your chord, even though nobody has that part. Then, I'm going to sing the note that is in the chord,